Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside. 6:22 to go. Pacers up 93-91. It's all on the line. It's all on the table. It's coming down to the wire. Do the Thunder win tonight and make this as interesting as the NHL Stanley Cup Finals? Or do the Pacers win, take a 3-1 lead, which when teams have a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals, they have gone on to win 37 of 38 times. Shameful that the Warriors, in all of their dynastic endeavors, the one year they didn't win, they not only lost, they lost it badly by going up 3-1 and then failing to win the series. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got another baseball game tomorrow. Did I tell you about my kid's baseball game? That's real important to me. I think I did, right? They don't really keep score. Everybody bats, and then they all go in the field, and the other team, everybody bats. And then they switch it around. It's coach pitch. So if you can't get it right away, then you hit it off the tee. And it's, you know, it's just a way to get acclimated in baseball and it's fun. Okay, I understand. There's a snack sign up, as is customary in youth sports. So we've got, what am I bringing? I signed up for tomorrow because we got some applesauce packets that we like or that we bought that my son doesn't like. So we're just going to redistribute them to the other kids. I made sure I bought another snack. I bought some granola bars. And then I was just going to buy, like, you know, a couple of 8 packs of apple juice. You know, when you go somewhere and the kids drink the apple juice, right? Those little 8 packs. I went to 2 grocery stores tonight. Neither had that product. Neither had any bulk juice products at all.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I wasn't going to show up with just, like, gallons of apple juice. I was like, I thought it was an anomaly at 1 store, okay? 2 stores? 2 stores? No apple juice boxes? So now I got to go tomorrow, go out of my way.
Oh, no.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Bart, there's bigger problems in the world. And I would say to you that the world revolves around me. So how can that be?
Are you serious?
I'm not. But I will retell that story again in an hour if the Pacers win. And I'm going to do it a lot more angrily because I'm going to vent out my frustrations about if the Pacers win. And I'm going to find a different topic because I don't want to be like complaining about the Pacers. We don't want that tonight, even if they win. We don't want that. We want a respectable, professional broadcast. We want that. You know what I might complain about is I mentioned these two guys. They're kind of pissing me off. These Dumb and Dumber guys, screw them. I don't like when fans get famous for being at a game. Does that make sense? Is that a fair complaint? Like those two guys that tried to rip, whose arm was it? Mookie Betts' arm off? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, these guys are so sweet. You shouldn't be famous as being a fan at a game. Then again, that's how Jen Sturger got famous. I was reminded of that when I watched that Favre documentary. She was just in the stands, and Brent Musburger was very horny about it. And then she...
And then so was Favre.
And then so was Favre. And there it was. The Fall of Favre, the documentary on Netflix. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Really weird story. Baseball-wise, out of Milwaukee that I wanted to bring to your attention. And I think, you know, I vetted this one. When there's, like, something I want to bring up that's Milwaukee, I make sure, would I talk about this if it was in the framework of another team? And in this situation, I would. Because even when I briefly mentioned last night that these Giannis rumors need to stop, you know, people message me like, no one cares about Milwaukee, Dad. I mean, the people in Milwaukee do. And also, ESPN this morning on their flagship show, they were talking about Giannis's future. And if he's an underachiever, if he doesn't win a second title, never mind the fact that there's an NBA Finals game today, they couldn't get anything more out of the Knicks search. So then they've got to figure out what other non-finals related topics can we bloviate about for a few minutes. So the baseball story out of Milwaukee is Aaron Civale is a pitcher. And he is about number four prototypical pitcher on every team. He's got a 40-36 record in his career. He's got a 4.06 earned run average. So he's not terrible by any means. He's not great. You're not going to see him in an all-star game. But he'll bounce around for a few teams when they need starting pitcher depth. They'll go and acquire a guy like Aaron Civale. He started his career in Cleveland and then eventually was traded to the Rays. And then last year was traded to the Brewers. When he was traded to the Rays at the deadline, not so great. 2-3 record, 5.36 ERA. But then when he came to Milwaukee last year, 6-3 record in 14 starts, a 3.53 ERA, so better. You're going to get your 5-6 innings. He's going to give up his 3-4 runs, and, you know, he's going to be one of these depth guys. The Brewers have a lot of, I guess, those kind of guys on their team. They've got enough depth, and they just brought up this kid, Jacob Mizorowski, who throws like 100 miles per hour on every pitch. His changeup is like 95 even. It's incredible. And he pitched last night, looked very good. Had to come out. He twisted his ankle in very Brewers luck, but he looked good. So they bring him up. They got other guys coming back. Nestor Cortez, remember, was traded there. He's hurt. But they signed Jose Quintana. So they got guys. They've got enough guys. So Aaron Civale, they said, we're going to move you to the bullpen. And immediately he said, I want to request a trade. And he talked to reporters about why before the game, this would be yesterday.
We're exploring opportunities for me to get back into a rotation, whether that's here or elsewhere. That type of decision is out of my hands, but I'm exploring the options to give me the chance to do what I do best, and that's go out there and start. Like I said, I still feel like I have a lot to give as a starter to this game.
Manager Pat Murphy addressed the situation and basically said, as long as he doesn't act a fool, we're not going to have a problem.
I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do. And Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization. So he's got a right to feel the way he wants to feel, you know, like, and now it's time for him to go behave. You know, he's got to go pitch for us if we ask him to pitch for us. And I think he will. He's that type of guy. And I respect him a great deal, and I think he'll go pitch for us. It doesn't matter whether he likes the decision or not. That we can't be concerned with that. It's his behavior that we got to be concerned with, and I think he will. I'm confident he will behave well.
Carlos, do you remember how you celebrated your 30th birthday?
Not really. I lied. I think I was in Vegas. I'll have to double check that though.
I, at the last second, said, hey, I'm going to be out if you want to come hang out with me. And, like, my parents and one other friend showed up. So we, like, tried to half-ass a 30th birthday. But I still had a good time. I ask you that because yesterday was Aaron Civale's 30th birthday. So he loses his job as a starter on his 30th birthday. He gets told to behave on his 30th birthday. You know, it's tough. And the Brewers, you know, the other thing is they didn't give him a present either. Well, he wanted to be a starter, so guess what? The Brewers felt bad. He wakes up, his first day of being 30, and they say, we got you a present after all. You're going to be a starter again. Oh, great. He wanted to stay in Milwaukee. He just wanted to be a starter. No, you're going to get traded to Chicago. Oh, wow, they're in first, the White Sox. Oh. No. So, for his 30th birthday, he gets demoted, but then quickly a turnaround to be a starter again, but for the White Sox. Have you ever seen a trade request just be like rubber stamped so quickly? It's very rare. Ken Rosenthal breaking it down on MLB Network today.
The deadline drives so much activity, and it's like anything else in life. People don't move until they have a deadline. And in this case of Savali, it was a different situation. It was different because they had a seeming surplus of starters. He was bumped from the rotation. He is a potential free agent who wants to continue starting. So he asked for a trade, and the Brewers honored his request, and it did happen more quickly than I thought. I thought this would need some time to play out. But the White Sox surely want a veteran starter, and they can flip Savali if he performs well over the next 7 weeks. It was a good deal for them, and for the Brewers, they get a guy in Andrew Vaughn. I do not know what has happened to Andrew Vaughn, number 3 pick in the draft not so long ago, but maybe he goes to AAA, finds himself a little bit, and contributes to the Brewers down the stretch.
So it's a one-for-one swap, some cash exchanging hands, too, going to Chicago. But Andrew Vaughn, I mean, Andrew Vaughn, as Ken said, was the number 3 pick for the White Sox in the 2019 MLB draft. And at the time, the draft is tough. You don't know what these guys are going to amount to. You don't know what they're going to turn into. Vaughn's been in the big leagues for 5 years, struggling mightily right now. He's hitting just .189. His OBP is .218. He's got 5 homers up to this point. He homers about 18 times a year on average when he does play long term, but the batting average is usually much higher, at least in the 250s, 260s. And here he is just struggling mightily, and now he's going to AAA. And if you're the White Sox, you're happy you got anything, because this is another one of these draft picks that have been just so bad for you. So when you're a bad team, and Chicago should, I mean, they should be, they're a big market. They should not be acting like a small market team. But remember, last year they had the record for most losses, modern era, which the Rockies will probably pass them this year. But they've just been very, very bad. And one of the reasons is their draft. Now, if you look at Detroit, the Tigers have been bad too, but they've also been building up. And they've had high draft picks, and now these guys are paying off. Even in the draft that Andrew Vaughn was in, Riley Green was the number 5 pick. Very tough, though, for the White Sox, because in that draft, the 2019 draft, Adley Rutschman, catcher, Orioles, goes 1. Bradley Witt Jr., MVP, caliber player, goes 2 to the Royals. And then they get Andrew Vaughn, a first baseman at the time, now outfielder, at number 3. Also in that draft, a bunch of all-stars. C.J. Abrams went 6. Josh Young went 8. Alex Manoah went 11. Corbin Carroll went 16. So there's even Gunnar Henderson was a second-round pick in that draft. So there's plenty of guys that they could have had. And it would be tough if it was just 1 year, but it was several years. The White Sox, Nick Madrigal, picked number 4 in 2018. One spot after Alec Baum, who's been very good. Casey Mize in that draft. Joey Bart, Jonathan India at 5. Although, at least they did not take the guy who got taken 9th, Kyler Murray, with the Oakland Athletics. It was a shock when he did not play baseball. I think we kind of forget that. It was a shock. White Sox in 2017, Jake Berger. I mean, that's a year they could have had other guys. He went number 11. 2016, Zach Collins, the number 10 pick. 8, Carson Fulmer, a pitcher in a draft that had Dansby Swanson, Alec Bregman, Kyle Tucker, Andrew Benintendi all ahead of Fulmer. And then at number nine, the Cubs right after Ian Happ. Walker Buehler in that draft, Austin Riley in that draft, Brandon Lowe in that draft, Jake Cronenworth in that draft, Cedric Mullins in that draft. So just really tough for the White Sox that when they drafted Andrew Vaughn all these years ago, you would not have thought that a 4 ERA veteran depth pitcher would be the return. And really what they're doing is they're going to try to, like Rosenthal said, they're going to try to get a few good starts out of him and then maybe flip him for even more. They thought it'd be better for them to see if they could flip Savali rather than Andrew Vaughn, which goes to show again how far he has fallen, a once number three pick. Happy birthday to Aaron Savali as well, a now member of the Chicago White Sox. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz. Looking back at some of the MLB drafts, the kind of the 2015-2019 period and how the White Sox either just missed out on a guy taken right before them or took a guy and All-Stars got taken after Andrew Vaughn was traded from their organization today. He was the number three pick in the 2019 MLB draft. When I was going through that, because also taken in that draft was Bobby Witt Jr. Carlos, did I misspeak?
Yes, it was a clear, glaring, obvious misspeak that I did not jump on like a hyena, because I know that you do get irked at that sometimes. So I just clipped it and I put it on a screener. I'm like, you sure about that? And you drove right past that fork in the road, but it was definitely a misspeak.
Do you have the audio? Bradley Witt Jr.? Okay. Now, I think, because then what happened is then I got off the air, and I don't want this to be a thing, but I don't like the way you say it.
All right, I'm going to need details.
You say it like with such shock and like almost like disappointment and anger. Like you said, Bradley Witt Jr., you sure? Instead of Bart, I think you meant to say Bobby. Bradley Witt Jr.?
Well, I am shocked and disappointed because...
And then I look on the screener and it says, Bradley Witt Jr., it's deaf, Bobby, dot, 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 Bradley dot? Witt Jr.?
Well, again, I am shocked and disappointed because I look up to you. I respect you, which is crazy that you're only a year older than me, but I admire what you do. So it's disappointing to me when you... It's one thing to misspeak, like...
Next hour, Derrick Henry.
Or
oh, you say... No.
Like, those things happen. And in fact, even in the same segment, when you said Brandon Lowe, when it's actually Brandon Lau, I didn't jump down your throat for that. I'm not going to eat your lunch. But when you get an MVP caliber player's name wrong...
Bradley Witt Jr.?
That's a little off-putting. Now, I don't mean to be condescending or be a complete jagwagon about it. But I am just like, if my idol Bart can make these mistakes, what shot does a schmuck like me have? So I do need you to do better.
And I think I get so upset because, like, I'll say Falcons. So now I've gotten it down. It's Falcons. But even I say Jaguars wrong sometimes.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people do that one wrong.
I know my issue is. I talk for 4 hours a night, and I'm ad-libbing the entire time, okay? None of it is scripted anything. So then when I make a mistake, I think people should treat it like, Oh, you made a mistake.
Tarpons.
but people have been grinding me on misspoken words forever, and then you just sound so like incredulous about it that it makes me feel bad for a mistake. I don't have any reason, but I would prefer. So what do we fix? What's the end game? If I go Bradley Wood Jr., I just be like, just get on the air and say, you mean Bobby? I'll be like,
Bradley
Witt Jr.? Oh, LOL.
So this might have to be where you just have to make an executive ruling on this, because I will continue to clip gems because I am an audio hawk.
Mike Ditka, the head coach of the New York Saints.
Because these things are funny to me. But I don't mean it in a malicious way.
They do seem to be having me more frequently. This is a problem, maybe.
I mean, 5 days a week. I mean, or 10 days in our case. I mean, it's pretty much criminal.
I work 4 hours a day. I work 10 days a week.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I'm cool with not correcting you because I don't mean to do it in a malicious way. But I do think it's hilarious as hell because I don't want to just clip the drop, not let you know. And then, like, 3 days later, play it, and you're like, when the hell did I say that? And you're like, then it just becomes weird.
Next hour, Derrick Henry.
What was the second name I got wrong?
You're talking about the Blue Jays pitcher? Oh, no, you mean, in this segment alone. So that one's not a big deal. Like, Brandon Lau. His last name's pronounced Lau. A lot of people call him Lowe. Like, that I can totally get. Because Nathaniel Lowe, I've called him Nathaniel Lau because who the hell knows anymore?
Yeah, if I say Brandon Lau, I think you just, okay, you let that one go.
Yeah.
But if I'm calling him Bradley Witt Jr., you got to get on the air.
Bradley
and save
Witt
me.
Jr.?
Yeah, you got to save
me. Well, the last time I got on the air, you're like, what the hell?
Because I don't think I like how you said it.
Well, again, I don't come from being, I don't come from the place of being a jerk. I do it because I like to let you know, hey, are you sure about that? I'm going to clip this. Do you want to try again?
Let's get this right. I am telling you what to do and how to do it. Bradley Witt Jr. why did I say Bradley Witt Jr.? Why on earth?
I don't know.
I'm at his name.
Was Milton Bradley, which I know obviously the answer is no. Like, were you thinking he was in this draft as well? Because that's the only thing that I can think of. Milton Bradley, Jackie Bradley.
No, I think I got it. So I just had said Adley Rutschman.
Yes, I was a fantasy darling that first year he came out. I knew it.
So Adley Rutschman, and then I went Bradley Witt Junior.
And I said, it happens. I misspeak on this program all the time. It's not like I just have drops of you. It's just funnier when I catch you because it's not me. But if you like, enamel, Palace and Malice.
Well, what's funny about that is the whole time I thought I was getting Andrew Vaughn's name wrong. I thought I, for some reason, had the wrong name there. All right, this was all just a distraction so that we could both watch the end of this game.
Oh my God!
The Thunder have won! The Thunder have won!
Thank God.
Have I been on the air yet when the Thunder have beaten the Pacers?
The Bart Hex is over.
Because was it over the weekend? The Thunder won on Sunday, right?
Si, senor.
Yeah. All right, the Thunder won! The Oklahoma City Thunder went on, what, about a 9-0 run in the three-minute span? Benedict Mathurin missed three straight free throws. Because I thought, let me pull up the play-by-play. Because it's difficult. We're having this conversation. And also watching the game. Turner threw up a prayer. Yeah. Yeah. If I've been so just a mess of a person when the Pacers have won, we can celebrate the Thunder winning a little bit. We could celebrate that. When Miles Turner missed that 26-foot three, geez, you clip a bunch right there. Then they got the rebound, and then Holmgren fouled him as they were falling out of bounds.
Terrible foul, by the way. Terrible.
Yeah. I thought, oh, okay, this is how they're going to get back in. Because I thought Turner for sure was hitting that. And then Mathurin missed them both.
Ball don't lie, I guess.
So then they fouled SGA right away. He made the foul. Or he made the free throw. Then they turned it over. Right? So now they're up five. Because he had an away from the play foul. So SGA made it. Then they're up five because they have the ball. Bad pass. Halliburton steals. Mathurin goes to the line. Misses again. Then makes the second one. But then, you know, they ran out of time. You know what I saw today? That just reaffirmed my Pacers dislike.
What do you think I'm playing this for?
They were showing Tyrese Halliburton all of his game-winning shots. And he was ranking which ones were the best.
Oh, that's so obnoxious.
And the Twitter account for the NBA, I think, sent something like, what a flex to be able to do this at all. And I thought, are we doing this a little too early? Isn't this something you do, like, after you win the finals? And that is one of the reasons I get so upset with the Pacers, is they act as if they've won something before they've won it. And now the series is tied, and it's going back to Oklahoma City, and they finally took a 10-point lead. They took their first double-digit lead in this game, and they show the crowd, and the crowd's like, we're winning this game, and we're winning the finals, because again, only one team that's gone up 3-1 has lost the finals when they've been up 3-1, the Warriors. Otherwise, 37 of 38 teams, they go up 3-1. You go up 3-1, you win the finals. Now it's 2-2, and we're in a completely different scenario. And this is like exactly what happened last night. Because Florida was up 3-0. And Edmonton's thinking it's over. We're going to go down 3-1. We're cooked. So you're down in this pivotal game. You come back. You win. And for the Thunder tonight, their backs were against the wall. They had to win this game. Down double digits. What was the score entering the fourth quarter? Entering the fourth quarter, it was 87-80. The biggest lead, apologize for doing all this on the fly, the biggest lead was 86-76, so 10-point lead towards the end of the third quarter, and then the Thunder go on a 9-0 run in a span of 3 minutes, outscore the Pacers 31-17 in the fourth, and now the series is completely different. So a big second period, and then eventually the overtime winner for Edmonton, and a big fourth quarter has completely changed, and we are in the middle of, because these series are both going at least six now, we are in the middle of two really good series. We got the NHL, which is great. We got the NBA, which is great. In a culture where every game needs to be the best game ever. That's why Florida State got left out a couple years ago. Not for any other reason than you didn't want to watch them. And I'll be the last person to still say it. The meteor will be coming to Earth. My last breath will be Florida State got screwed. But I hope you're enjoying it, because this is what we demand. This is what we want. And we're getting it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update on this game and more. It's Dexter Henry. They made eight fewer three-pointers, the Thunder did, than the Pacers, as was described on the Thunder Radio Network. And what's interesting about that is the Pacers only made 11 threes. The Thunder only made three three-pointers. Indiana, 11 for 36. Not great. But the Thunder, 3 of 17. just the third team ever to win a finals game, despite being outscored by at least 24 points from three. The other two, the Jazz versus the Bulls in game three of 1997, it was 24 points. The Cavs versus the Warriors, game seven, 2016, it was 27 points. They were outscored by three, nine less threes. The only team that has ever come back down from 3-1 in an NBA Finals. So it was big. And the Thunder knew it was big, and that's why they had to have the quarter that they did in the fourth quarter, where they outscored the Pacers 31-17. This from the postgame show on ABC.
How fair would it be to characterize this game as must-win, considering it was 2-1 on the road?
We knew it when we woke up this morning. 3-1 is a lot different than 2-2 going back home. We played with desperation to end the game, and that's why we won. We got to try to maintain the same desperation going into game five, game six, whatever it may be.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander interviewed there again immediately after the Thunder's 111-104 victory over the Indiana Pacers. SGA with a pretty nice night for him. He had his 63rd game in the regular season and playoffs with 30-plus points. The only others to do that in the last 50 seasons, James Harden did it once, and Jordan did it four times. There were 70 games that he had at least 30 points in the 86-87 season. Interesting stat line, though. SGA, no assist. Ended up not having any assists. That snaps a streak for him. But he did have 35 points, three steals, three rebounds. The big part of this game, the Pacers were up 103-99 with 3:20 to play in the fourth quarter. They scored 1 point the rest of the game and lost. Finals are tied 2-2. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Robert's in Annapolis. Robert.
Hey, voices. Hey, by the way, when I called Jeff in New Orleans, Glenn in New Orleans, you corrected me very professionally and politely, and I appreciate that.
Yes, you're no problem. Carlos could learn from my professionalism.
There you go. That's why you're the host. Anyhow, I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, but these are two of the best scripted playoffs of all time. I mean, look, it behooves these leagues to have these games be sort of, these series go kind of back and forth with the storyline. So, look, it's got me interested in the NBA playoffs and you interested in the NHL playoffs. So it's obviously working. And perhaps not a barometer suggestion, but if it ever did one of the most notorious NFL malcontents, I would have to say that Antonio Brown and Pac-Man Jones would have to be on that list. They're not up there with Lawrence Phillips and Ray Caruth, but those guys are always in trouble.
Can I mention anyhow, an Aaron Hernandez and an O.J. Simpson?
We got some others. But anyhow, food for thought. But as always, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Robert, in Annapolis. Good to talk there. Yeah, it helps each other. They help each. I mean, there's nothing to it. It's just there's NHL games that we're watching and there's NBA games that we're watching. But when we're watching both, and they do alternate and they are good, like one of the things I just think is the most accurate phrase in all of life is a high tide will lift all boats. The NHL being like this and the NBA being like this, where both series could have been 3-1, like easily, and now they're both tied, it is going to bring up more interest in each other. The NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final both tied 2-2 in the same year for the first time since 2015. So this is very rare to see this. This is very, very rare. And both kind of following the same stuff. Did you see this picture of Stephen A. Smith by chance, Carlos?
No.
Maybe I'll just send it to you.
Please.
And get your reaction. And then I will tell people what it is. And while I do that, I mentioned that the NBA, they had put out that they put out that video of Tyrese Halliburton ranking his final shots.
What a clown.
That's something you got to do afterwards. All right, I text you the picture. Stephen A. Smith.
What? But you know what? I'm not surprised.
All right, so the picture is on Alex Golden NBA's Twitter account. It's, you know how these guys are at the game, and he took a picture from behind where they're broadcasting, and so it's a behind shot of Stephen A. Smith, and fans are up, engaged in the action, but Stephen A. Smith is on his phone. Maybe not the worst thing ever. I mean, how many times do we go to a game and we check our phone, like, all the time, right? He's playing solitaire? Stephen A. Smith is at an NBA Finals game where he's supposed to cover the finals. Is this spider solitaire? Is that what that is? Where there's like, or no, is that just straight solitaire?
I think that's straight solitaire.
Straight solitaire.
Which I'm a big fan of, by the way. Or rather, I was, like, in high school when I was in computer science and they were teaching you how to type. I would play solitaire, which is why I can't type now.
Oh, yeah, I love solitaire when you had those, like, Mac computers.
That's right.
Growing up, people got into Minesweeper or solitaire that came with the computer. I have played a lot of solitaire as well. I had this one stretch. Maybe it was out of college, but I had this one stretch where I wouldn't let myself go to bed until I beat solitaire, but I put the settings to, like, super hard. So they don't always give you the right, like, good cards. And if you make one mistake, you're not going to win. So I had like a weird, I would be up for an hour playing solitaire before I would win. And then there's a lot of these apps that you can play solitaire online and win money. Have you ever gotten into that?
No, I'm not a degenerate.
Well, so here's the problem with that is they tell you you're playing against a real another human. So it's like, you put in a dollar, they put in a dollar, winner gets like $1.95. So they get 5 cents every time, that sort of thing. But I don't know, man. I don't know if you're really playing against a person or if it's just like how I feel like slot machines are rigged. So I'm wondering, because you can play some of these solitaire apps for like a dollar, but you can play for like big money. Like you can get in these tournaments that are $100 to get in. And if you have the fastest time of your solitaire hand, you win. If there's 10 people in it, you win $950 or something. So I'm wondering, is that what Stephen A. Smith is doing? Or is he so bored that while watching an NBA Finals game, which I'm not sure at what point this game, and I don't think it's in a commercial, the way the other fans are standing, they seem engaged. At what point in this NBA Finals game does he need to think, I need to pull out my phone, not to check my messages, not to check my Instagram, not to check Twitter, not to check on anything else. I need to just simply play a game of solitaire. It's pretty remarkable. And I mentioned those two guys, they were right by the Pacers bench. They were dressed in the Dumb and Dumber costumes, which Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, they wore those. One wore an all like blue tuxedo, one wore all orange. But then these guys, they weren't just dressed as them. One guy had Stephen A. Smith's face like covering a lot of it, and the other had Kendrick Perkins. And ESPN really, really tried hard not to zoom in on those faces. You had to kind of wait for certain angles. I also like that they keep showing Mark Jackson, who used to be a part of the broadcast team, and they say, oh, there's our friend Mark Jackson, and then they don't like also say that they canned his ass. Solitaire. How much money you got to get paid to actually put eyeballs on the thing that you're covering? Unbelievable. 888-710-4476. Thunder tied up the series. We'll talk about it with you coming up. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.